Welcome to Career Chats
with Natalie and Jack.
Hi, everyone. This is Jack.
Hi, this is Natalie.
And you're listening to the second episode of our podcast series, Career Chats. And in this week's episode, we're going to talk about networking. Now, I know most students hate networking. I don't blame you. I know it seems hard when you first get into it. And that's why we're having this podcast, so that we can debunk some of the fears that you might have about networking and give you some concrete tips so that you can do it well.
So I'm curious, Jack, did you ever do networking when you were at Stanford?
That's a good question, Natalie. To be honest, I didn't. At Stanford, I was pretty shy. It just felt so sleazy, you know, and the first thought that came to mind was that I'm going to go in and be fake with a bunch of people. You're trying to present yourself as being bubbly and excited about these companies that you know nothing about, and it just really scared me away, and I never did it.
Yeah, I think I had a similar approach to it as well, but it was one of those necessary skills and activities that you have to go to. So I actually probably only did a formal networking once or twice. And after that, once I got my job, I was so glad I didn't have to do networking. But thinking back now, I wish that I would have done a little bit more, not in a sense of going to career fairs, but more of just putting myself out there to learn from other professionals or other classmates of mine, because I think I could have made my experience a little bit more meaningful in college rather than going through the 4 years and just trying to get a job at the end of it and thinking that was the metric for success.
That makes total sense to me. You know, talking about networking, a student recently came into a career appointment with me. She talked about how hard it was going to be for her, just like the way I described it, how fake it felt. Mm-hmm. You're reaching out, pretending you're not interested in a job, and you can't ask that person for a job mm-hmm. when you know you want a job, and that person probably knows that you want a job. Mm-hmm. And it felt like the stance. So I shared an analogy with her that I think it helped her to understand why we do networking. And I'll share it with this group here. So imagine, Natalie, if you came up to me and I didn't know you, and you just, a complete stranger, you asked me for $100. For me, I would say, hey, get away. I don't know you and you're asking me for $100, mm-hmm. right? But let's say you came up to me, you introduced yourself, and I got to know you. We had a good chat. And then a little bit later, I got to know you even more. I got to know that you're a highly successful entrepreneur. And then later you asked me for $100 for investing in another venture of yours. So if you ask me for that $100 now, I would gladly give it to you and say, you know what, in fact, take $200. So I think that's one way to think about networking, where you're establishing these relationships so that you're not asking right off the bat, hey, I'm looking for a job. But through that process of getting to know people, you can help yourself, but also have a good time and build relationships with people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think the first example you mentioned of just straight up asking for $100 is transactional, right? Literally, that is a transaction right there of asking for money. And that's what I think oftentimes gets people deterring them from networking, is because they feel like it's transactional, which tends to be right. Inauthentic.
Yeah, I like your point of saying it's transactional if you approach it the wrong way. And so the key thing is to how do you make it non-transactional?
So yeah, I feel like we've sort of explained specifically sort of what an informational interview, how to do that, right? Which is, I guess, for me being an introvert, that is my most preferred form of networking, but there's a lot of types of networking. But I wonder if we should share the experience of actually you doing an informational interview with me before you got this job.
Yeah, absolutely. So the context is, of course, a lot of you know, last year in 2018, I made the switch from being a product manager at Amazon to becoming a career coach. But in that process, I wasn't quite sure if I wanted to be a career coach. So I talked with my manager, Andy, and we had a good discussion. And I really liked Andy, but I just talked with him on the phone. And he encouraged me to reach out to Natalie, and he said, why don't you go in, set up some time with her, and get to know more about career coaching. So I did that, and Natalie was gracious enough to set aside an hour to talk with me, and I found it really helpful. So I'd love to hear about your impressions of me, but when I came and saw Natalie, first of all, I showed up on campus. So it was just a good chance, even though I'd seen UW campus before, to get reacquainted with how lovely the campus was and see the environment and think to myself, wow, this is a really cool place. And then when I came in to meet Natalie, she had her dog Finnegan with her. Mm-hmm. And Natalie's office, if you've been to her office, is also very feng shui. I know I'm saying it wrong, but
yeah, I think that's about right.
You know, it's just a really nice, cozy office she has. And she was also very friendly, answered all these questions that I had for me, and was very upfront with what she liked about the role and some of the challenges that she faced. She was also realistic of what I should expect if I were to take the job. I think originally we were supposed to talk for 30 minutes, but you extended your time, and I was like, you know, this is the kind of colleagues that I would want if I were to become a career coach. And she really got me, at the end of the informational interview, really excited about the thought of working with students. Mm-hmm. So having said that, I'm curious, kind of flipping the tables, what was your impressions of me?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what I initially, before I even met you, what my perspective was or what I was thinking. So of course, knowing, I saw your resume before I met with you, and of course the first thing that came to mind was, wow, this guy has a lot of great work experience, and you know, seems like you're pretty high up at Amazon, so you're probably, I'm gonna be honest, you were probably making a decent amount of money. And so my first concern was, or question was, why the heck is this person leaving this quote unquote dream job, right? At Amazon, at one of the top companies in the world, why is he leaving that job to work with us? Not to say that we're not important here or as good as Amazon, but it's just very different, right? So it was more around the motivation, because as we think about the work that we do, we're a small team. I want to make sure that if we're hiring someone and considering someone to fill this role, that they know what they're getting themselves into, both from a job function, skills level, work expectations, personality, but then also obviously the financial expectation, right? Of like, how much would you be making? So I was a little bit hesitant, but that's also why I was looking forward to meeting with you, was because I wanted to see if you were going to tell me a compelling story of why are you interested in this job or switching careers, a very drastic career change. So that was before I met you. Obviously, when I met you in person, you were very friendly, you were really open and honest, and I felt like you were very professional. I actually remember, I think you came in with like, did you come in with a suit? Or you might have come in like in some type of more professional wear. And I thought it was funny because I was just thinking like, oh, I bet he hasn't worn a suit in so long after working at Amazon for 10 years. And I wanted to just be like, it's okay, we're not that formal here.
That's funny. I don't think for the informational interview I wore a suit. Definitely for the interview I did.
Yes, and maybe that's what I thought. I was like, oh, it's funny, he probably hasn't worn a suit. And you might have even mentioned that you haven't worn a suit in many years. But anyway, yeah. Regardless of what you were wearing, yeah. I felt like you were very professional, and I felt like you were excited to also talk to me, which made me feel good, right? Because if I was going to spend 30 minutes of my time, I wanted to make sure that you were actually interested to hear what I had to say. And so I felt like we had a really great conversation, which is why I also extended our time from 30 minutes to an hour, because I felt like our conversation was going really well, and I wanted to learn more about you, and I wanted to share with you my experience as well, switching from corporate into higher education, because I, you know, from a selfish standpoint, I wanted you to understand that there are drastic differences.
Yeah.
And I wanted to make sure that you were okay with that.
Got it. So I guess one question I have for you that our students ask a lot is that, okay, students will go out, they'll conduct their informational interviews, mm-hmm. and then there's a sense of now what? Mm-hmm. What happens?
Yeah.
So what are some tips that you would give to students to make that informational interview useful moving forward?
Right. Well, I think the first thing to note is you don't have to keep up with every single person that you do an informational interview with, right? So you can be selective, but regardless if you want to keep in contact with them or not, you always want to follow up with a thank you email afterwards, just thanking them for their time and maybe like put in there sort of like what are some takeaways that you took from that meeting so that person can feel like they helped you. So definitely always do a follow-up email within 24 hours thanking them for their time. But if you do want to stay connected with them, you know, I often get the question from students, how often do I follow up with them? There's not really a specific rule of thumb of like time-wise. It's not like 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. I would just say follow up with them maybe whenever there's something new in your life that's related to what you were talking about. Or if, let's say, you were talking about something in that informational interview related to the job or related to the area of function that you're interested in, and you find an article that you want to follow up on and share with that person, I think that's a great way to just, you know, send a quick message and remind that person that, hey, you know, you're here and you thought of an article that you wanted to share with them. I want to give a specific example of actually something you did really well after our informational interview. I think in our informational interview, we talked about how a lot of students want to get into product management. And right. You offered, obviously with your product management experience, you offered to put together like frequently asked questions document on product management. Right. And we talked about that and you followed up with an email after our informational interview. And I think you attached that FAQ document to the thank you email and you were like, hey, feel free to share with students, which to me was just really great in that one, even though you're not working for us yet, you're already thinking about how can you help our students. And two, the fact that you were willing to do the work when, again, you're not a part of our team, but regardless, it just shows that your genuine interest in helping students, regardless of if you were a part of our team or not, you wanted to give back. That was probably the best thing, follow-up you could do after an informational interview is actually following up with what you promised you would do.
Yeah, I totally forgot about that. Thanks for bringing that up.
Yeah. So just making sure you're following up, and if there's something that you, again, talked about in the informational interview that you're going to do, for example, let's say the person mentions that there's a job opening right now that they think you'd be good fit for, make sure you follow up and actually apply for that job. And after you apply for that job, it doesn't hurt to email that person back and let them know, hey, thanks for the tip about that job. I applied for it. I'm really excited. I hope I'll hear back from the recruiter on an interview.
Yeah.
So just completing that follow-up and feedback loop.
Yeah, I think those are great tips. A couple others that I share with our students is at the end of the informational interview, maybe asking them, hey, who are some other people that you'd recommend that I talk to, so that you keep that chain going? And then another thing is, I would say you could follow up with them later when there is a job opening that you see, and it's related to what you said, but you could follow up with that person and say, hey, I found this job opening. Does your company have a referral program where you would benefit if I were to get the job? And if so, would you mind just submitting my resume to HR? Mm-hmm. And that could be a win-win situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because most companies have a pretty generous referral bonus for the employee, right?
Yeah, absolutely. At Amazon, I think it was a couple $1,000s.
Yeah, if that person ended up getting hired, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's not like the person that's referring you is losing anything. It's actually like, why wouldn't they?
Right.
And
it takes, what, a minute to upload the resume? So the ROI is pretty high.
Yeah.
So I think we're about at time. We've probably gone over.
Yeah.
But it's been a fun conversation. If students have more questions about how to proceed with informational interviews and networking in general, you can always schedule time with Natalie or myself. We'd be happy to provide one-to-one career coaching on this topic because it's very important. So on that note, I think that wraps up episode number 2 for us.
Thanks for listening, you guys.
Thanks for listening. Take care.
Bye.